Good morning, good morning, good morning, or good afternoon, good evening, depending on what your schedule allows you to do as it relates to tuning in. Hello, you got Mr. Smith, 0.5 of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and I will be your day one instructor for this credit restoration challenge. You see, this challenge is all about you taking 30 minutes out of your day to push you closer towards having 850 credit score, 800, 700, whatever your goal is. We want to push you closer by taking 30 minutes a day to push you in that direction. So what you'll get is bite-sized pieces. Today will be no different. You'll get an educational piece centered around one factor of credit, and we'll give you an action step to take at the end of this training. So today's topic is all about payment history. Day one, payment history. Now, what is payment history? It's exactly what it sounds like. It's how well you have paid your bills. And most people know about this, so this is not, you know, some type of rocket scientist. You're probably already familiar with this, and this is the most commonly known factor as it relates to your credit score. And it does have a big impact on your score, which is why a lot of people focus on it, which is why a lot of companies that say they're going to fix your credit focus on this, but it's not the only factor that should be focused on. You see, payment history, and this is something you want to write down because this can help you as it relates to the strategy of enhancing your credit. Payment history is measured in increments of 30, 60, 90, 120 days, and so on. So if it's measured in those increments, what that does for you is let you know that you could possibly be 25 days late on a bill and it not be reported on your credit file. Why is that important? Because sometimes life hits you and it puts you in a situation to where you may not have the money, or you certain things may have taken place and you have to put the money elsewhere. But if you at least know about the grace period or the window, then you can leverage it and use it to your advantage. Now, this is not to overextend that grace period. This is just to know that it exists and utilize it if need be. Because you have to be strategic when it comes to boosting your credit. Now, you must understand this. If you do go beyond a certain amount of days and it's past the due date of the bill, you will still be charged a late fee, but that doesn't mean that it'll be reflected on your credit. So that's key as it relates to this, because now you know what you're dealing with and you know, okay, I'll be charged a late fee, but it won't hurt my credit score. So keep that in mind. But write down that payment history is measured in 30, 60, 90 day increments. And what that does is just let you know how it goes and how it's reported to the bureaus, so you're in the best position to make sure you're not affected by not knowing this. Let's proceed. Credit score. So what is a good credit score? Most of the time when we ask this out publicly, when we're speaking, most of the time people hit the nail on the head when we ask what is a good credit score. They say anything above 700. That's absolutely right. So let's break it down. Best credit is 800 to 850, because 850 is the top credit score you can have. Excellent credit is 750 to 799. Good credit is 700 to 749. Fair credit is 650 to 699. Poor credit is 600 to 649. Bad credit, 300 to 599. Now, this is what you got to understand. The max credit score you can have is 850. The lowest credit score you can have is 300. So 850 minus 300 equals 550 points that are available to build your credit score. See, a lot of times people think that they got to get all 700 or all, you know, 850 in order to have perfect credit. That couldn't be further from the truth. All you're thinking about is 550 points and how you can go about accumulating it. So you got to look at credit as kind of like a game or a video game. The more points you're collecting, the closer you get to your goal. So you want to be accumulating as many points as you possibly can, because you're only dealing with 550 points. By knowing this, now it just kind of gives you a free 300 points to start off with. So nobody starts at zero. Everybody at least has 300. Now it's a matter of taking that 300 to 800 or 850 or whatever your credit goals are. Now, let's talk about payment history a little bit more, because what we like to do is focus on the whole score. So many people only focus on payment history, and I just want you to know up front that this is only one factor. but it is an important factor. So we address the whole score, not just one piece of it. So over the upcoming days, you will hear how we address the entire score. So let's talk about it. The score range is 300 to 850, as we mentioned. The available points to you is 550 points. Payment history is 35% of your credit score. So that's more than a third. Payment history equals 192.5 points. So that's the max amount of points that you can get from payment history. So if you have flawless credit or flawless payment history, that will give you 192.5 points max. So it's the largest factor of your score. And like I said, this is why most people focus on it. But let's think about this. If you were to have perfect payment history, as I stated, you would still only have a 492.5 credit score with perfect payment history, if that's all you focused on. So that's why it's important to focus on the other 65%, not just the 35%, because 492.5 as a credit score is still very poor. Nobody wants to be in that position. So I just want you to know, don't just stop at the payment history. There's still 65% left as it relates to you boosting your credit score. So let's talk about the different account types that you're likely to see when you pull your credit reports and just take a look at what it is that's on your credit, whether good or bad. These are some of the things that may show up. Credit cards, of course, retail accounts, which can be like JCPenney, Dillard's, Macy's, Walmart, any department stores that you might have accounts with. Installment loans, that's like your car loans, or certain personal loans have installment loans, or they fall into the installment loan category. Mortgages, that's something you may see. Bankruptcies, lawsuits, tax liens. We've even heard of child support being on there, or medical things being on there as well. So these are just some of the things that may be on your credit report. We just don't want you to be in the blind. So when you see it, you know, oh, you know, this is exactly what they told me. This is one of the things that fall into that category. So let's go a little further. We want to talk about late payments, and this ties into something that I said earlier. But as it relates to late payments, it's all about the reporting details of the negatives. It's the negative things that are reported on your payment history. So these are some questions that you just kind of want to kind of ask yourself. How late were you? Because these all matter as it relates to the negative aspect of it and what you can do about it. So how late were you? How much did you owe? How recently did this event occur? And how many are there? You see, the good thing about this and these late payments is that all of these items can be disputed if they're incorrect. And by incorrect, I want to give you a few examples, because it could be just a small thing that they messed up or dropped the ball on that will allow you to dispute it and exercise your rights just because they didn't do their part. So, for example, what that looks like is, let's say that they reported that you were 30 days late, but in all actuality, once you looked at it, you realized that you were only 25 days late. Guess what? You should dispute that, because it's an error on the credit report. They said 30, it was actually only 25. That's an error that needs to be disputed, and it can possibly be removed off your credit report. Let's say that they report that you owe $5,000, but in actuality, you only owe $4,500. That's an error. You must dispute that, because it can possibly be removed off of your payment history, which reflects on your credit in a positive way. Let's give another example. Let's say, for example, they said that this event happened 2 months ago, but in all actuality, it happened 5 months ago. That's an error, yet again, because of their inability to report accurately. You can dispute this, and this puts you in a better direction as it relates to boosting your credit score. So credit report also shows your on-time payment history as well. So what we just talked about was you removing negative items, things that were incorrect, but also it's more than just about the negative items. What we want to do is also put positive items on your credit report as well. So as these negative items are being removed, now you can see that will help your credit score. But if we add the positive history that's associated with the things that once were negative, that boosts your credit score pretty rapidly, because now you have both things working for you. You have less negatives and more positives, which rapidly boosts your credit score. So we want to do both, remove negatives and add positives to your credit score. So let's talk about, what really causes a person to have late payments. Most of the time is just they find themselves on hard times or in a situation where they really just can't pay their bills. You know, we've been there, or you know somebody who has been there. So here's some tips, because when it comes to your credit, a lot of times you just have to be strategic. A person who can't pay their bills or they fall on hard times doesn't necessarily have to have bad credit. They can have excellent credit. They just fell into a situation that made them have to make some different decisions. So we want you to be strategic in that decision-making process. And number one, we don't want you to juggle paying bills. And we'll give you a few examples that break down what we mean by that. Number two, decide who is not getting paid, period. Decide who is not getting paid. And as bad as that may sound, that you are choosing who will not get paid is more about you in this scenario. You got to be a little bit selfish, because you have to choose who may not get paid this particular paycheck or this particular month based on your priorities, based on how it might reflect on your credit score. And you have to be stern on it and stick with it. And once you decide who will not be getting paid, pay everybody else. Everybody else gets paid other than the ones that you decided were not getting paid. And don't feel pressured by the bill collectors when they're calling, because this is your strategy. You came up with a game plan on how you want to boost your credit, and we're giving you some tips and tools that you can implement, but don't be pressured by the bill collectors, because this is your strategy. Now, let's give examples on what we mean by not juggling bills and determining who doesn't get paid and paying everybody else and not being pressured by the bill collector. Let's just say that a person has three different credit cards. Let's say they got a Visa, they got a MasterCard, and they got a Discover. And they fell on hard times, and they said, okay, this paycheck or this month, I'm only going to pay Visa and MasterCard, but not Discover. So they're going to pay two out of the three. So Discover realized they didn't get paid. So they start calling. They're like, hey, we didn't get paid. You know, you owe us. You need to break bread. We're going to charge you with a late fee. And then next month when they get paid, they decide, okay, Discover called me, they pressured me, they said I'm getting a late fee and all of those things. So this month I'm going to pay Discover and MasterCard, but I'm going to miss Visa. So they pay Discover and MasterCard, and now Visa is calling saying, hey, you know, you didn't pay us, we're going to hit late fee, pay up, pay up, pay up. So next month they're feeling a little more pressure, and they say, okay, this time what I'm going to do is pay MasterCard and Visa. So they didn't pay Discover. Now, this is what happens. And I may have left one off, but this is what happens. They're juggling bills, and now not only did they get a late fee from all three entities, they also caused a situation to where some of this stuff is possibly reflecting on their credit report because it gets out of that 30-day window. Now, when they do that, what they should have done is this. Pick one credit card that they were not going to pay, stood firm on it. So if Discover was that credit card that was not going to get paid, stick with it and say, okay, they just wasn't going to get paid for 3 months consecutive. But meanwhile, they paid their MasterCard, they paid their Visa. What that does is make the MasterCard and Visa show up on the credit report as excellent payment history. So what you have to do is just take a step back and say, would you rather have three entities or 10 entities that you had, you know, late payments and dings on your credit report, or just one? And the obvious answer is one, because it's easier to later fix one or two accounts than it is 10. Because eventually you will get back on your feet. So once you're back on your feet and now you're trying to correct everything and right your wrongs, the last thing you want to do is be trying to fix 10 mistakes that could have been prevented by just you choosing who was not going to be paid, stick with it, and get excellent credit or payment history going for the other two credit cards or other two entities that you may have. So that being said, that's all about strategic as it relates to you using what you can in order to make sure you boost your credit score. So don't juggle the bills, decide who's not going to get paid, stick with it, pay everybody else, and don't be pressured by the bill collectors, and just implement your strategy so that you're not in a rougher situation when you finally get back on your feet. Now, let's talk about the FCRA, because you'll hear us talk about the FCRA, which stands for the Fair Credit Reporting Act. You'll hear us talk about this over the duration of this five-day challenge. Now, the Fair Credit Reporting Act is basically you having rights as a consumer. So it's a law that protects the consumers against the misuse and the misreporting of your credit information. So what we want you to do is just get okay with exercising your rights. It may be some things that you know was your debt or your expense, but they may have dropped the ball in other areas, and the fact that you chose to exercise your rights may put you in a winning position as it relates to your credit or getting things removed off of your credit because of the erroneous and outdated information that they may have. So when you're exercising your rights, erroneous and outdated information has to be removed, and that's okay. And many items are removed due to poor record keeping. So this is powerful, because if they don't keep good records and you notice it, it's now an error on their behalf. You dispute this error, it gets removed off of your credit report, even though it may have been your debt. But the fact that their record keeping is poor, you win and they have to remove it. So use the rights to your advantage. And I give an example for, especially if you're a business owner, it's very, very similar to if the IRS was to audit you. And audit is not a bad thing. So don't shy away from that word if you are in business. If you get audited, it's basically the IRS saying, okay, prove what it is that you said you wrote off in, as it relates to your expenses. Prove it. So they want you to prove your receipts and, you know, the mileage that you may have accumulated, or the marketing budget that you wrote down, or the employees that you said you paid. Prove it. And as long as you can prove it, then they leave you alone. It's the same as this. You mail off a letter or you do certain things to dispute the errors. If they prove it to be correct, then you just have to move to the next step or leave them alone. But if they cannot prove it, then they have to remove it. I'm going to say that again. If they cannot prove it, then they have to remove it. So keep that in mind. We just want you to get in the habit of exercising your rights. So let's talk about that payment history, because, you know, all of the things we talked about are things that affect your payment history. But how do we go about solving negative payment history? Well, the solution is simple. Four letters. Now, there are other letters, but we're going to talk about four, because these four typically get the job done. Truth be told, number one actually gets the job done a lot of times, and that's that debt validation letter. Now, there are actually two different types of debt validation letter. One is in conjunction to what we just talked about, which is the FCRA, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and the other debt validation letter is dealing with the Fair Debt Collection Practice Act. And that's another act that protects you as well, but we won't dive into that, but it is another debt validation letter. So the debt validation letter is basically the letter that you will send off to the credit bureaus to make sure that they validate that the debt belongs to you, because it might be some misspelled names or wrong addresses. So they got to validate that that is your debt. And let's just say they do. Let's say that they validated. Let's say that, you know, they send you information that proves that this debt is supposedly yours. The next letter that you'll file off is the method of verification letter. What is the method of verification letter? It's really exactly what it sounds like. You need them to verify what they use as it relates to showing that the debt belonged to you. So what method did they use? And if they didn't go about using the right method, then it has to be removed. If they can't prove it, they have to remove it. And why is this important? Because a lot of times these entities, all they're using is an e-Oscar Center system And basically that eOSCAR system is an automated electronic, you know, pretty much an artificial intelligence. So they're using this electronic system, and it's supposed to verify your disk. So it's an automated system that could be just collecting all kind of wrong data, and if that data is incorrect and they can't prove it, then they have to remove it. So you need to see what method they use in order to verify your debt. And if they make it past that, and or if they fault and it's something that doesn't really apply or doesn't apply to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, or they violate the Fair Credit Reporting Act, now you hit them with the third letter and let them know, look, you're in violation of the FCRA rights. And you send that letter and showing them how they're in violation, and now they have to remove it. And let's say they make it past that stage. They still, you know, feel as though everything they're doing is correct. You now have the ability to send the intent to litigate. Basically, you have the ability to sue them if they violated your rights. Now, this is something I have to say, and you might want to write this down. In fact, you should write this down. If you know the debt was yours, do not take them to court. Do not file a lawsuit if you know for sure that the debt was yours. But this is a letter that you can send out to let them know, look, I know you're in violation of my FCRA rights, so I do plan to sue. And a lot of times this gets the job done because it's not worth it to them to go to court over something that may be very minute. What I'm saying is, if you know the debt was yours, don't file a lawsuit. Because what ends up happening is they have what's called a frivolous lawsuit fee that you'll be penalized on, all because you filed a lawsuit knowing that the debt was yours. So it's a frivolous lawsuit penalty that you can get if you file a lawsuit. So please do yourself a favor, and if the debt is yours, don't file a lawsuit. But all of these letters usually get the job done, and you sit them in their order. Usually send one, wait 30 days, send the next one. If they've responded, wait a few days, send the next one. And it usually goes in that cycle, but a lot of times you may not even make it to letter number 4 because you got the job done with the previous letters. So there are a few other letters, like I said, but that can be used as it relates to depending on your situation. But these are the main ones that help you as it relates to payment history. And repeat, do not file a lawsuit if you know the debt legally belongs to you. Let's dive in deeper into the action steps, because we gave you some things that you can use in order to understand your payment history, how to really combat it, and really understanding what all plays a part on your credit score. But let's talk about you taking some action. We really want to get you in motion. It's one thing for us to teach and talk about it, but we really want to get you in motion. And day one, the first thing we want you to do is open up your Credit Karma account. And the reason why we choose Credit Karma for this example or this challenge is because it's free. We don't want you to have to dig in your pockets, you know, in order to pay for something. We just want you to get in motion in some direction. Now, what I can say about Credit Karma, it provides the Vantage score. It's a different scoring mechanism that some people use, but the more popular one is the FICO score. So FICO is the one that most use, but this will at least give you something to go off of because you can gauge it based off of the Vantage score. However, now if you have a bank or some type of credit card that allows you to get a free FICO score, then use it by all means. But whenever you're ready and you're actually ready to spend some money, you can go to myfico.com. That's myfico.com, myfico.com, and get your actual FICO credit score. I know two entities that actually do allow you to get a free credit score is Wells Fargo is one, and then Capital One. Capital One and Wells Fargo usually allow you to get a free credit score or a free FICO score, and now you can use that. Now, once you pull your Credit Karma account, and once you set it up, and it's free, it'll provide you with a Vantage score, but what you want to look at is the scores, and you want to look at the payment history. So the scores and the payment history. And as you can see on this screenshot, I only see two of the bureaus. So you'll see the TransUnion and you'll see the Equifax with Credit Karma, but you will not see the Experian until you actually pay for the FICO score. So it'll cost you whenever you're ready, but this will give you something to gauge and take the action today. Now, this is what I got to tell you. Do not do anything with the information. Make a note of what is on your report as it relates to the scores and the payment history, but do not do anything with that information. Here's why. I know they may make it look easy as it relates to you looking at some negative things on your report, and it may even look like you can just click a button and dispute. You do not want to do that. Because when you dispute something online in the form of an email or just clicking that button to dispute it, you automatically waive your rights. And this can be proven in documentation, but you automatically waive some of your rights. So in order to avoid that, and we'll dive into more of what we mean, you don't want to dispute it online just by clicking that button. Those four letters that we talked about are letters that you want to send verified mail, certified mail. So now you're leaving a paper trail and you're not disputing it online and you're not waiving some of your rights. When you mail it via certified mail, you preserve your rights versus lose your rights. So do not do anything with the information. And I'm saying this and I'm stressing the importance of it because you might get a little trigger happy and you're like, okay, I'm ready. Ooh, that's how I can dispute it right here. Let me click this button. Do not dispute anything online. You want to make sure you take a look at those letters that we listed and you mail those via certified so that way you protect and reserve your rights. So let's do a recap today. You got the payment history. You understand how much of it affects your credit, 35%, that's 192.5 points. You understand that that's just one factor of others because there is 65% left out there. However, this is the biggest one and a lot of people focus on it. But you also understood that it's negative payment history and good payment history. And what we want to do is add good payment history and remove erroneous payment history from your credit report in order to boost your credit score rapidly. You also got a list of what the letters are. So you understand the debt verification letter. You understand that they have to prove what method they use. So the method of valid of verification. You understand the third letter that has to be sent off if they violate your FCRA rights. You have also been exposed to the intent to litigate letter. If you feel there's a need to do so, but please don't do so if you know that the debt was yours. Otherwise, you get hit with the frivolous penalty if you file a lawsuit based on something that you know. And now we just want you to take a simple action step. And if you are in this challenge and you've invited people, make sure you tag them to this video so they can watch it, so they can get their daily dose of this and take their next action step because it's going to be important. But tomorrow's challenge, which is day two, get ready for day two. I'm going to have a queen with me on day two, and we're going to bring it home for you. But we just wanted to give you some nuggets and actionable steps that you can take in order to start heading in the right direction. So get your open your Credit Karma account, or if you have access to the another FICO portal that allows you to see your credit report, then by all means do so. But don't do anything with the information. Just make notes by looking at the scores and the payment history and get ready for day two and the action step that comes along with it. Tag whoever you invited to this group to make sure they don't miss it so we can make sure they're on track for the upcoming days. We don't want anybody to get left behind in this challenge. But this concludes day one of the Credit Restoration 5-Day Challenge. Get ready. I salute you just for sticking around and really taking this. Hopefully you run with it because it's all about what you implement. You can learn everything, but if you implement nothing, then you move nowhere. That's all I got. Cinco Smith, Mr. Smith, 0.5 of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, signing out.